o'clock.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush, rush, rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
When the eighth immortal makes you a promise that he can make you a better player, surely, MG, you jump in your car, you head up the M1 and you join the Newcastle Knights.
That's an amazing carrot to dangle, isn't it, for a young playmaker? Well, Luke Brooks is still a young playmaker, and when Joey Johns comes a-calling, very hard to knock him back.
We're going to discuss the halfback roundabout that is kicking off, reportedly set to involve, potentially, a Roosters playmaker as well in Lachie Lamb.
Yeah.
Interesting time.
Well, it is. Penrith already moved on from Tyrone May. They've got a halfback as well. So busy time for the little number sevens.
We're going to break down that, as I said. We're also going to be joined by, speaking of, wasn't a halfback, but he was a nippy little player in his day and is now coaching the Brisbane Broncos, Kevvy Walters.
Well, he played a bit of number seven for the Raiders and Broncos when maybe Alfie was injured or something. But yeah, maybe mainly a number six, Kevvy. Mm. He's a great character of the game and can't wait to chat to him.
Looking forward. First day of preseason for Broncos. Looking forward to chatting. Kevvy Walters, but MG, things are getting heated in the world of rugby league come boxing.
What's cracking?
Paul Gallen v Josh Alawai, the fight is on, MG. The 10th of December, Newcastle Entertainment Centre, the new home of boxing in Australia over the last year or so. The two men have met at a press conference today, and I'll let the audio speak for itself.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to the sport. He sat there a moment ago and said that he wants to do the right thing by the sport and look like a boxer. We'll do the right thing by the sport and fight the three-minute rounds. I haven't signed the contract. I haven't even been sent the contract. I don't send the contracts, by the way, Oshie. But, mate, do it properly. Why won't you do it properly? Are you not a little bit embarrassed to sit there in front of these three blokes in front of you, earn probably 10 times the amount of money they're going to earn, and fight two-minute rounds? Is that not a little bit embarrassing to you?
We were embarrassed in the three or four fights that you done two-minute rounds.
Yeah, I was, and I blew up every time. But the difference between you and them opponents were they weren't at the start saying, you've boxed since you could walk, you're better boxer than me, you've got more experience than me. Those words come out of your mouth. You said it, not me. I never said it. So if you're so good and you've got so much experience, why are we fighting two-minute rounds for?
Oh,
you got me.
I'm in.
Oh, hook, line, and sinker. That's Paul Gallen. What a promoter.
This is... I mean, we now know that his skill in the ring has gone to another level. Like, he's a legit boxer now. That shouldn't be questioned. And we saw in those years and years of State of Origin going head-to-head against the Queensland Dynasty that he knows how to play the villain. He's happy to take on that role. But Gow has become very, very, very good in those press conferences now.
Oh, as they say in the WWE, he's got Mike. He can hold it. He's unbelievable on the microphone. Look, Josh Alawai made a good point. You know, obviously, Gow's first few fights were for two-minute rounds, and then Gow said, I wasn't happy about it. So it's simmering. It's gone beyond the simmer.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting to bubble.
The bubble, yeah.
It's starting to bubble.
The
kettle's about to blow.
Now, I watched the press conference, and I was a bit disappointed because our theme song, our entrance music for Josh that we handcrafted here at Triple
M
at the Rush Hour didn't get a run, for those who haven't heard it before.
Oshay Ollie, one vote. Oshay Ollie, one vote. Oshay Ollie, one vote. Oshay Ollie, one vote.
But I imagine it's loaded into the system, the audio system.
Yeah, in Newcastle. Mm.
They'd go nuts with this in Newcastle.
Why have it today when you haven't got much of a captive audience? Wait till the fight at night. And then you come out to this.
Now, I imagine that's preloaded into the entertainment system.
It's just, one of them things. I know that boxing in Australia kind of was simmering along until Paul Gallen came along. And now, after continual fights against big names, and everyone wants to see Gow fight. And Josh Alawai has got that chance. And if he can hold his hands like a lot of people say, and like he said he can, well, we should be in for a really entertaining stoush.
I'm looking forward to it. Now, there is more rugby league action on the undercard because BJ Leilua is set to make his boxing debut, and he's going to be fighting Chris Hyington.
Yeah.
The journeyman. Who is fit. He's a personal trainer.
I watched young Chris Hyington when he was young. He was probably about 19 at the time. Fight up at Wyong against one of my mates back in a little charity fight.
Oh, really?
Which was on a card back in about 2001. So he's done it before, and he knows what he's doing in a ring. I think that's going to be – you've got one guy who bleeds black and gold, one bloke's leaving black and gold. So it could be spicy as well. This could get dirty, down and dirty as well. So, well, look, it's going to be fun.
When main events, Ben Damon asked Joey Leilua why he was taking the fight, this is what he had to say.
I just got a text, you want to fight? And I said, yeah, I'll take the fight. Pretty honest, yeah. I wasn't scared or anything. I was excited because I've always wanted to box, but I never knew how hard it was until this camp we've been doing. So
I'd imagine you've probably had a few fights over the years. How have you gone?
Yeah, it's just mainly park fights, you know. That's all I can't say. I can't say anything else. I'll get in trouble.
Well, he's a big boy. He's a big boy, and if he can have some style about him. Look, fitness is, you know, Heinington's going to be a bit like Gao. They'll come at you all day.
Yeah.
They'll make sure they're fit. So I think for anyone to beat someone like Gao or Heinington, you've got to get them early.
You've got to get them early.
Yeah, otherwise you're in for some deep waters, I'm afraid.
December 10th, Newcastle Entertainment Centre. I'm in again. Yeah. Gao's done it to me again. He's got me. We're going to speak to Kevvy Walters, the coach of the Brisbane Broncos. It's day one of their preseason. So we're going to speak to Kevvy because there's reports of a new contract that he signed that we want to get to the bottom of. But MG, it's also day one for Tim Sheens back at the West Tigers. He's at Concord, he's on the ground, and it's time to get stuck in for Tim.
Yeah, and tomorrow we're going to have a really deep dive into what the three main things Tim Sheens must bring to the West Tigers to make them a successful entity. But look, the one thing that's been bubbling away for the last month or two, ever since the season finished, is all the innuendo about Luke Brooks. And now we're mentioning, someone's mentioning today another player, Lachie Lamb, might be going to the Tigers. Look, and part of, I think, what Tim Sheens has got to bring, and I'll talk more about it tomorrow, is he's got to establish some confidence in the club.
Mm.
At the moment, there is none. At the moment, they're kind of a boat without a sail, and they need that sail and the captain to step aboard and say, "Come on, let's do this." Because he was the coach when they won the competition last in 2005. So the Tigers need to be addressed, and I think Timmy Sheens will do that. And I'll let you know more about it tomorrow. But today, the three halfbacks you want to chat about, one of them is Lachie Lamb.
Yeah, well, so the developments over the weekend as far as Luke Brooks and his future at the West Tigers, the big development is a quote that Joey Johns gave to Danny Wilder in the Sydney Morning Herald. Speaking about his new coaching role, he said that, this is Joey speaking, he said, "Look, if I work with Mitchell, I think I know how to help there. I've worked with him at the Roosters in New South Wales. He knows how the game is played and I've been one of his strongest supporters." That's the end of the quote. Obviously, Mitchell Pearce has asked for a release to go and join the Catalan Dragons.
Yeah.
Joey continued by saying, "Now, if he's not there and Brooks is there, that'd be really exciting. It's a challenge I like. He looks like he needs a change, and getting out of Sydney would be good for him. I think he can really add a lot to the club. He can play great. He needs to find that consistency. I could help him with when to pass, when to run, when to kick, but also I think the players around him need to understand his strengths. I think it would be exciting to work with Luke." Now, when the Eighth Immortal puts that out there in the public, he knows what he's doing there, Andrew Johns.
Of course he does. Of course he does. And he's confirming his status as, you know, he's one of the best footy brains that we've seen. You know, unparalleled as far as halfbacks go on the footy field, you know, along with Cameron Smith, I think the two best players, and Wally Lewis, in for different reasons, to play our game. And that's not, no disparagement to anyone I didn't really see much of, but these are the guys that, over my career, the ones that stood out, you know, that I thought, you know, Arthur Beetz in my early days, and then the stuff Joey would do on the footy field. You know, when he gives you a ringing endorsement like that, if you're Luke Brooks, you're silly not to take at least some heed of it. But all we keep hearing out of the Tigers from anyone you want to speak to is that he's going nowhere. And I think Luke Brooks is away on holidays for another week or two, and obviously he must be very good at blocking outside noise, because it continues to him. It continues to the poor bloke. Every time... The Tigers are mentioned in the same sentence. It's usually Luke Brooks somewhere in that sentence. So it would take its toll. And what Joey says has some merit. To get away from that environment, to travel somewhere where you know it's a rugby league mad town, and to have someone like Andrew Johns as your tutor, come on. That's a massive, massive big tick, and one you've got to really, really think hard about.
The progression, the development of this story of Brooks to the Knights took a turn over the weekend when people suggested that Lachie Lamb was in the frame to go to Concord to join the West Tigers as a replacement. Now, the West Tigers have since come out speaking to the Daily Telegraph and denied their interest in Lachie Lamb, saying, "Why do we need him when we've got Luke Brooks?" But well, you get the sense that there's, you know, these things just don't pop up from nowhere. Someone's asked the question.
Oh, of course. There's something, there's an undertow. You know, you know you're in the beach and you start to get pulled across to the to the rip side of things and you go, oh, something's happening here. Well, that's exactly the same in rugby league. Something's always happening underwater. Something's always happening and something's, you know, and nine times out of ten, it's the management of most players who make that first and, you know, the initial surge towards another club. And look, Lachie Lamb to the Tigers, I don't mind that. I know Jackson Hastings is there. I know you can't really say he's your marquee signing because he hasn't played in the NRL for 5 years. So, I'll address that tomorrow as well. But okay. I think, I know young O'Sullivan. He's a good signing for Panthers. I think he's a good backup half now that Tyrone May is gone. I think that they needed someone to fill them shoes. And I think O'Sullivan went really well. I think he improved as the season gone on, young O'Sullivan.
Yeah, well, and the other bit of good news as well as far as halves in the game go is the news of the Broncos signing Tamari Martin. The young former Panther, former Cowboy, who had to basically retire because of bleeding on the brain from a concussion back in 2019. He's been signed to essentially a development deal with the Broncos. And we might see Tamari Martin back on the park in 2022.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story. You know, when it first happened, that story, we all thought, oh, man, you'll never see him back again, bleeding on the brain. And you're only a young kid, so go and enjoy your life. But obviously he's improved dramatically over the last 12 to 18 months. So, yeah, well done. Well done, the Broncos. I can't wait to see him play.
Still only 26. Could be the 5'8" to sit alongside Adam Reynolds. Nice.
Yeah, well, I know that Tony Stagg wants to play 5'8". But, you know, he only played four games this year. So just to get him on the field, Tony Stagg would be enormous for the Broncos.
There's David Warner. Don't worry about fetching that. Not unless you're in the crowd.
The timing is excellent.
Oh, MG, David Warner leading Australia to a victory against the West Indies in our final group game over the weekend, and most importantly, leading us through to the semi-final stage.
Yeah, as I thought he would. You know, in this type of format, you know, Dave Warner's going to snap sometime because he's got such a good eye and such a good batsman. But yeah, look, in the semi-finals now. So they're playing Pakistan this Friday morning.
Yep.
And while that battle goes on the field, off the field, there's another battle going on between one of our best opening partnerships ever. I mean, obviously the captain and the coach of Australia's cricket team, Justin Langer, but also the batting coach for Pakistan is Matthew Hayden.
If I had to guess in the lead up, I would imagine that Haydos would be flicking a few text messages across.
Of course.
But I reckon Justin Langer would be ignoring them. I feel like Justin is in his zone. I don't know if he'd be engaging with the banter.
Oh, I'd like to think he would. I'd like to think he would because obviously, I think we have never won
the T20 World Cup.
In seven attempts. So, I mean, wouldn't this change the narrative if Langer, who looks like a dead man walking, you know, his contract finishes at the end of this summer after the Ashes, imagine if he gets the trophy at the T20 and beats England in the Ashes. What will cricket Australia then do then?
Well, it is set up so beautifully because after the thumping that England handed us in the group stages, we've now scraped through. We face off against Pakistan in a semi-final that Brad Haddon told us last week, MG, we match up really well with.
Yeah, we'll talk to him later in the week to get his point of view on this as well.
The other semi-final is England v New Zealand. Potentially, we have a nice little, you know, T20 prelude to the Ashes here with Australia taking on England for the T20 World Cup.
I think that's what will happen. I think that'll happen. I think we'll play them in the final.
Juicy. Juicy. And terrific, as we said. David Warner finding form, 89 not out, guided the way. Josh Hazlewood was outstanding with the ball. And Chris Gayle, the big man bidding farewell to international cricket, his final appearance for the West Indies. He's 42.
Yeah, well done.
I didn't realise he was that old.
Yeah, I know me either. He what a ornament he's been to the short form of the game. He's just one of the things that kids gravitate towards, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has been. He's had his off-field moments as well, as have plenty of the greats. But, well done, Chris Gayle, an entertaining showman from, especially in that short form of the game. But well done to Australia, well done to Justin Langer and his men. The semi-final will be in the early hours of Friday morning, so we will get Brad Haddon back on the show this Thursday to talk more about it. MG, we know that the clubs are slowly rolling back into pre-season mode. The ones that went deep into finals, obviously a little bit more time off, but those that didn't make finals are back sweating it out already. Now, I know that preseason is one of the main reasons you retired, along with a slow motion video of yourself that Royce Simmons showed you. But one of the teams that he's back at it today, being steered around by a legend of the game back in his playing days, he is now the head coach of the Brisbane Broncos, going into his second season in charge. First day of preseason in the books, Kevvy Walters, g'day.
Hey, good afternoon, gents. How are we?
We are fantastic, Kevvy. Obviously, Liam said about preseason training. Listen, before we talk about the Broncos, were you a good trainer, Kevvy, back in the days of the Raiders and the Broncos? Did you really hate preseason, or did you get stuck into it?
No, I loved it, MG. Yeah, particularly the conditioning side. I wasn't that big in the gym. I wasn't that fussed on, all the gym stuff. But I loved on the field, all the running and that. Really took on the challenge. These days it's all changed from when we did our pre-seasons. It's a big slog in front of the boys, but hopefully they'll be right. They'll get through it okay.
I imagine that's an ominous note for the Broncos players, because if Kevvy had been the coach that didn't enjoy the on-field, running stuff too much, maybe he tailors the program accordingly. But, hey, how was day one of pre-season?
Yeah, we just did some testing today, both, some sprint tests and yo-yo tests that we do, and also in the gym with their bench and their squat. So easy, a lighter day today for them, but tomorrow sort of when we hit the grass probably with some conditioning and some skills and the like. So, yeah, looking forward to the next 6 or 7 weeks into Christmas. It's a really important period of the players' calendar. This is a time when they can really get themselves fit and fast and strong and skillful. So big period ahead of the boys.
Kevvy, your first season as the Broncos coach was tumultuous, I would say. We had some really, really ups and downs. It seemed to be once you got a little bit of a help. You got Dave Donaghy come up from the Storm, Benny Eichen put his feet under the desk, and all of a sudden, towards the end of the year, you could tell that you could concentrate on your coach and not worry about external stuff. Were they a big help to you when they arrived?
Oh, certainly, mate. Yeah, we very turbulent sort of first 6 months here, but then when Dave Donaghy arrived, instantly I could feel like him taking some of the heat, away. And then when Ben Eichen came in, probably about a month later, even better again for me, so I could actually concentrate more on the coach. It sounds ridiculous, but
no,
really focus in on the coaching rather than, there's so much goes into a head coach's role, and if you're distracted on the grass and on the field, well, that's a no-go zone. So we got that in order, and I believe we finished the season off, much better than we started. So we're looking to build on that into 2022.
Yeah, well, I was distracted on the grass once and got 8 weeks suspension for it.
Yeah, different kind of grass.
I'm glad it is.
Now, Kevvy, the reports came out yesterday. I'm seeing the term standard employment contract based strictly on performance. This is what's being reported by the Courier Mail, your new deal with the Broncos. How accurate is this? Are you now on a contract that means that you could be sacked week to week?
No, that's not true. Certainly, I'm off contract at the end of this. I signed a 2-year deal, so we did last year, and we're going into the second year. But that's as far as I know, unless someone tells me something different. No, it's not true. But I'm a realist as well, guys. Football is about winning, particularly at the Broncos. And if you're not winning games consistently, well, you've got to think, well, what's going on? So I've been given 12 months grace last year, and we ironed out some of the problems. When you finish last, like the Broncos did at the end of the 2020 season, you've got to be doing a lot of things wrong for that to happen. So, and you can't just fix them all overnight. It does take some time, but we're making some progress. We've got some great signings coming in, for next year, which are going to help me and help the coaching staff and the playing group for that matter. So, yeah, it's all looking positive from my end. But, again, as I say, I'm a realist, and if you're not winning footy games, well, you've got to look at what you're doing and how you're doing it. So, and that's what we've been trying to do.
That point you made about signings and the people arriving, do you have the necessary autonomy? You mentioned Dave Donaghy coming, Ben Eichen joining the club as well. As the head coach of the Broncos, have you got the necessary autonomy to make hirings and firings as you see fit to get the job done?
100%, yeah. Well, we've got a roster committee, but, at the end of the day, it's a combined decision. But, if we want to re-sign players and also, chasing different type of players, the head coach has a huge input into who those people are. So, and that's no different here. I've been given great support by Ben and by Dave and by the committee as well to make sure we get the right people into the building. And, I don't know. I don't have all the answers, but the group that we've put together, some smart footy brains in there. Lockie's on that panel as well. So, we're slowly getting it right, but it's about, getting the right people in here, the right character for the Broncos, and that's what we've been trying to do the last sort of 12 to 18 months.
We're up in Brisbane for Magic Round this year, Kevy, and there was a bit of a buzz around Brisbane because there was word and there was a bit of a rumour going that the Broncos were about to sign Adam Reynolds. And I said, you know what, if they sign Adam Reynolds, it's kind of one of the best signings up there along the likes of Lazarus and Co.
Yeah.
Like this guy,
yeah.
And when the announcement came, I thought, this is exactly what they need.
Yeah, it's perfect for us, MG. He just ticks so many boxes for us, you know, on the field with his leadership. His kicking game. He's actually quite a highly skilled player as well. I know that Cody Walker had nearly 30-odd try assists this year, but a lot of the work and the assistance that he got from Adam on the inside, you know, just plays, without boring you too much, with footy, really straight. He knows when to kick the ball. He's a really good goal kicker. The leadership, he knows the game. He loves the game. He's so he's perfect for us. We haven't had a number seven like Adam for a long time here at the Broncos, and it's been a highly contentious position probably since Alfie left, that was 30 years ago, 20 years ago, about the number seven Broncos jersey. So, you know, we got it right now with Adam. He's a terrific young fella, and more importantly, you know, he's really enjoying his time here in Brisbane and in Queensland.
Yeah, I think it's such an astute buy because you look at other clubs, you know, you mentioned Alfie the last time, you look at Parramatta since Sterlo, you look at the Newcastle Knights since Joey Johns, all the pressure that comes on these young kids coming through. But you get a guy who's in his early 30s, who's been there and done it, you put him with a bunch of young kids, I think he'll thrive as well. I think he'll thrive grand final winning Kurt Capewell.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the idea, you know, with Adam is to, you know, work off the back. I feel our forwards held their own last year in a lot of the battles, and we just couldn't get the right sort of end of kicks and end of sets, that sort of stuff. Well, that's right up Adam's alley. And then you mentioned Kurt Capewell. He's got great experience as well. He's an Origin player, premiership winner now with the Panthers. So he'll bring a wealth of experience into this group, which is exactly what we need. We're sort of a little bit leaderless the last couple of years, but we always got that good young talent coming through, and it's good now that we've got good players around, the good experienced players to guide them, as well as the excellent coaching staff that we have as well.
And I tell you what, if the momentum of that bloke by the name of Payne Haas continues into 2022, look
something
out.
Special. Something real special.
And the other thing, too, we only got four games out of Katoni Staggs, and everyone saw the difference that he made last year when he came in. He just gives everyone belief. You know, one of those players, MG,
bloody
like yourself, you know, plays on a lot of emotion, and he can lift players around him, which certainly you used to do as well. I remember that those kangaroo tours, mate. How much fun did we have over there?
No. We had too much. We had too much fun in a green and gold jersey. Especially when Kevy got the key to Keith Barnes's room and knocked off all the jerseys.
This is what I need, please. This is exactly what I need. I need a safer air story, please, Kevy, about a tour involving MG.
Oh, look, where do we start?
We had fun.
Well, unfortunately, because the Penrith blokes and the Brisbane blokes, we didn't sort of mix throughout the season too much. Obviously, we're in Brisbane and Penrith are in Penrith. But then we had a bit of a disliking. I'll be honest, myself, yeah. Alfie, Carrot, Johnsy, you know, we had a bit of a – Michael Hancock was another Broncos player. We had a bit of a disliking for the Penrith. We thought they were up themselves. I think they made the grand final. They actually won the – you won
no,
it.
No, we made it. We got beat by Canberra.
That's right. Sorry to bring that up, MG. That's you got them back the next year, though. You got them back the next year.
Yeah, but you weren't there then.
There was a bit of a standoff, and then we got to know each other early in the tour. We just got on like a house on fire. So they're all great fellas. Yourself, Brandy, Freddie.
Cardi,
yeah. Well, Cardi's up here coaching with us at the moment. So that's how far back the friendship goes. So, yeah, it's great stuff, and we've been lifelong friends ever since then. So been great.
What a heartwarming story.
You're a good man, mate.
Kevy Watts is taking charge of the Broncos into this preseason. A lot of excitement about what this great club can deliver next year. Kevy, now, as I let you go, we need to quickly ask. Are we mentioning the D word? Do we mention the other team that exists or will exist soon?
Yeah, the Redcliffe Dolphins. Yeah, Big Wayno's in town. Jeez, that's a sales back, eh? How much fun is that going to be? It's going to put everyone on their toes. Every club is
bloody
You know, so we need to sharpen our pencil up and get it really strong for when Big Wayney Poo rides into town. It's great for the game. Pathways for our players, and Wayne's obviously probably the most highly credentialed coach, well, he is in the game. Yeah. So what he did this year at South is amazing, and he'll bring all of that experience, you know, to the Dolphins. So it's a good challenge for all of us.
As you will for the Broncos, brother. Good luck,
outstanding.
Mate.
Outstanding. Brisbane is a hotbed of rugby league at the moment. Kevy, go and jump in the ice bath. Well done on day one of pre-season. We can't wait to see how it pans out.
Thanks, Liam. Thanks, MG. I'll cool down now. Good on you, boys.
See you, Kevy. Bye, Bowie.
Almost time for us to get out of here, MG. Tomorrow, as you said, you're going to be breaking down, deep diving on the West Tigers situation and identifying the things that Tim Sheens must fix now that he's got his boots on the ground at Concord.
Yeah, well, he's a powerful figure in our game, Tim Shoons. Just recently turned 71. He's going to have all that knowledge underneath him to get this Tigers side out of a bit of a mire.
Yeah, but before we finish up today.
Has MG been paying attention?
There was a truckload of sport over the weekend. I'd like to just make sure that our man MG is paying attention and keeping his finger on the pulse of all things sport. I've got a bit of audio from you from the weekend. You've got to tell me what the sport is and what the story is. Did you watch much over the weekend?
Not really. No, okay. I didn't.
Well, this will go well.
The weather
then.
Was beautiful on Saturday, so I spent most outdoors.
Okay, this will go well then. All right, first up, MG, what's the sport? What's the story?
Bottas gets tagged by Daniel Ricciardo. Perez goes onto the grass, and it's an all sorts of kerfuffle going on in that first corner.
Wait.
Oh, that's obviously the Mexico Grand Prix, but I'm not sure what happened.
Max Verstappen crosses the line a long, long way clear of the rest.
Yeah, well, producer Charlie made that clue a little bit easier, I think. Yes, it was the Mexican Grand Prix. Max Verstappen took it out, has a nice little buffer ahead of Lewis Hamilton as far as the standings go. But that first bit of audio was our man Dan Ricciardo causing a massive bloody crash on the opening lap. Wheels locked up, five-car crash.
Not for the first time, Dan.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Come on, mate. You're better than that.
Dan, you're better than that. So unfortunately, not the race that Dan would have wanted. The next race will be the Brazilian Grand Prix, and we were meant to be getting ready for the Melbourne Grand Prix, the Australian Grand Prix, but
true.
Unfortunately, that will not be happening. He's hoping New South Wales get it when they try and steal it off the Victorians. Right, AMG, next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
You can't be serious.
I am serious, Micah. It's not my action.
Because you're the ref.
Cool.
Wow. Is that Australia v Scotland in the?
It was so tight. It was so impossibly tense. But Scotland deliver yet again against the Wallabies.
15-13, the Scots triumphed over the Wallabies. But the talking point from this game was a disallowed try to Michael Hooper, the Wallabies captain, that you heard the referee talking to him about.
Come on, mate. You can't be serious.
Well, I'm not going to weigh in frankly, the rules of rugby union are Latin to me. Like, I just...
Yes, they've become that way. So I agree. I'm not going to lambast the referee because he's right.
If I read through a report, it says a Wallabies player was judged to have connected with the face of a Scotland defender as he cleared out a ruck in the build-up to the... I've got no idea if it's true or not. I'm going to side with Michael Hooper, though, and say the ref got it wrong. I think he got it wrong and he robbed us of victory.
Yeah, that's being patriotic. That's good.
Last one, MG. What is the sport? What is the story?
That was Canelo winning his belts.
The coronation is complete! All hail King Canelo! FIFA Mexico's first undisputed champion!
Canelo Alvarez yesterday against American Caleb Plant.
Undefeated,
11th round knockout means he becomes the first ever unified super middleweight world champion. He holds all four belts in boxing at that weight division. He's a freak. He's a machine.
Well, I was watching the UFC. I couldn't find the boxing anywhere on TV, so I watched Kamaru Usman and Colby Covington.
Ooh, what a
duke
fight
it
that
out
was.
For another five rounds. Well, yeah, it was a fantastic card. The best fight of the round, the card, but was Justin Gaethje v. Chandler, the very first fight of the main card. Man, that was a... And I thought that Charlie might have put somewhere in there that West Ham beat Liverpool this morning 3-2, but no, he didn't.
Have you seen the photo floating around of Dana White at ringside at the UFC? He's been accused of not caring enough about the women's strawweight fight that was on between Zhang and Rose because he's got a TV monitor in front of him and he's watching the Canelo fight because reportedly he had a $100,000 bet on Canelo to win by knockout. So he's got his own thing in front of him in the ring.
Yeah, you've got to be better than that, Dana.
And he's there watching the
boxing. You've got Rose. You got a title fight going on right in front of you, mate. Yeah, come on.
Come on,
you've
Dana.
You've got to stay in your lane, baby. I know you're boxing. You started as a boxing promoter, went over to the UFC, and now he's a bit of everything, Dana.
Risked $100,000, according to the bet slip that's getting around on social media, risked $100,000 to win $40,000.
Wow. Oh, well, that's a good investment. Was he $1.40, was he?
Yeah, it must have been by knockout. Deep pockets. Anyway.
Very deep pockets.
All right,
as
MG.
You have.
I've got pockets. I'm just happy to say I've got pockets.
Deep pockets and short hands.
Zips. I got zips in my pockets.
What is it? Well, there's a butterfly floating out of your pocket. Your pocket. Hello, butterflies.
Get your hands out my pockets. Right, we're going to get out of here. Tomorrow on the show, yes. MG is going to break down exactly what Tim Sheens needs to fix at the West Tigers, and we will be announcing the winner of our Melbourne Cup tipping competition as well.
Which won't be you. So as always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.